But it can happen that the kiss is too far away, that it seems unattainable, because it seems impossible to achieve a sincere dialogue or to look into each other's eyes. Then the first step is to start by touching one another, to find an excuse to make contact. When an abyss between the two has been created, we avoid touching each other, and pride or stubbornness sometimes leads us to avoid direct contact for several days. But if we return to touching each other again, it is possible that everything, little by little, may return to normal. I remember having read or listened to the case of a couple which was totally deadlocked in their communication, but that managed to return to dialogue thanks to unexpected contact. One night, the alarm clock was left on her bedside table desk. So when the alarm clock rang in the morning, he had to stretch himself above her in order to stop the unbearable noise, and all that weight of his body fell on top of the woman. This contact alone caused communication to begin again. That silly abyss that was separating them, which united that terrible knot of false indifference. Oh my goodness. Some of this I can't even read to you. Here's a poem he wrote. Your mouth sings without using words. Every word speaks of your figure, that smooth shape of your daring lips. Let your lips stop singing, which today tell me nothing, and all is cold. Don't invent words for me. Let your mouth speak, trustingly setting free the heaven of your boundaries. I know that some of you out there in Crusader Land who have been following these troubles in the church, you have set up in your minds some kind of red line. You've said to yourself, well, when we finally cross the red line, when things get really bad, then I will admit that we are, in fact, in a state of emergency. But up until that point, and up until we have crossed the red line, then I'm going to assume that everything is normal within the church. And the problem with this state of emergency being sort of casually and subjectively defined by each individual person, the problem with this is that there's no real objective standard for when we have crossed the red line. You know, when we put a red line on Assad in Syria, when we said, if you use chemical weapons on your people, then we're going to invade you. And then he did, supposedly. That's an objective red line. It's measurable. It's objective. We can talk about it. Fact of the matter is, most people will redraw the line because accepting the hard truth, the idea that there has been a violent takeover, a coup, accepting that fact is something that is repulsive to the sensibilities of a faithful Catholic. I mean, I know that many of you out there in Crusader Land are not even Catholic. And you're looking at the troubles that we have on the inside, and you're saying, wow, looks like a storm's a-brewing in there. Y'all need to get your you-know-what together. And I don't disagree. You know, my brother recently entered the church within the last couple of years. He said, as bad as it is on the inside, you don't want to know what it's like on the outside. I take comfort in that. I take solace in those words. I think it's true. It's kind of a dumpster fire out on the outside. You got all these women running around, these butch women running around claiming to be whatever, bishops and whatever of Methodists and Episcopal and etc. What is your recourse? Bible church? I go to a Bible church with Billy Bob Knows the Bible. Where did he get the Bible from? Well, it was AOL Instant Messenger sent to him from God. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's how we got the Bible, right? Didn't even have the Bible for the first 350, 400 years of Christianity, and yet somehow Christendom was spreading and building. Explain that. Church came before the Bible. Church ratified the Bible. Church wrote it. Church authored it. Church protected it lovingly, copying it laboriously by hand, monks, protecting it from barbarians, various places, various times, Visigoths in Spain trying to burn the Bible. Barbarians in Italy trying to burn the Bible. Teutons trying to burn the Bible. Germanic peoples. Vikings from Swedes. Nords. Nordic tribes. Heck, even from Wales trying to burn the Bible. Yet the Bible survives. It survives all of these things because of Catholic monks, monasticism, the Roman Catholic Church. Fake accounts tried to sneak their way into the Bible. The Gospel of Peter, the Gospel of Judas, didn't make the cut. Who decided what was divine and what was not? Who decided what went in and what went out? Oh, that would be the Catholic Church, actually. The Roman Catholic Church compiled it, authored it, protected it, copied it. And now Billy Bob knows what the Bible means, what it really means. Billy Bob, Pastor Billy Bob, he knows. He's got the truth. He speaks the truth. He speaks. The Spirit speaks through him, and all 50 of his congregation are saved. And everybody else is on the bandwagon to hell. I see. Interesting. Billy Bob, how do you claim your lineage? Where did you come from? Can you honestly say that you represent the apostles of Jesus Christ? Who were the first apostles? How did they spread the gospel? How did they perpetuate their own teaching mandate, the Great Commission? These things all have answers to them. So yes, I understand. For those who are outside the church, you're looking in and you're like, hey, you guys got problems. You got a communist pope. Yes, there certainly is a man dressed in white who is a communist. And in all appearances, what you say appears to be true. I don't disagree with that. Problem is that on the outside of this whole thing, on the outside, things are a heck of a lot worse. You might say, well, you guys change your doctrines. Y'all change your doctrines like Catholics change their doctrines as often as they change their underwear. Really? Really? Name one Protestant denomination that hasn't accepted contraception, abortion, divorce, gay marriage. Contraception is, I think, the bellwether issue. If you wanted to take a social issue and say, well, whoever's right on this social issue is probably right on other issues as well and may be the true church, contraception would be a good place to start. Contraception was universally banned by all Christian denominations everywhere around the world from the beginning in the early 1900s. Now there is only one denomination on planet Earth, one Christian denomination which doctrinally rejects contraception. That is the Roman Catholic Church. That is eternal Rome. The eternal magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church says contraception is a grave sin. It's so bad it'll send you to hell if you do it. Separating the life-giving function from the pleasure function, separating those two things, reducing a woman to merely pleasure with no responsibility, that is morally wrong. Treating her like a piece of meat. We have to objectively look at things. We have to objectively look at how things are going in the world today. And the fact of the matter is that contraception is the prerequisite to many of the social problems that we have today. It is. Contraception creates pornography. Contraception paves the way for abortion. Abortion is just contraception used after the fact. When you convince men that they have a right to the pleasure, completely separated from the responsibility of marriage, monogamy, child rearing. When you convince them that they have a right to the marital act, divorce from any possibility of human life, then those men will seek abortions to underwrite their right to pleasure. Then those men will seek abortions to underwrite their right to pleasure.